everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Small Talk Podcast. My name is Katie Fairman, and this episode is going to be a little bit different because there's actually going to be a clip that I'm going to insert into the audio, which was recorded last week, and it's not just me speaking. I'm with two of my friends, George and Claire, who are both journalists in Formula One, and long story short, we managed to get ourselves to Milan. We arrived in Milan on Wednesday, I believe it was. And as we landed, we got the news that the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix had been cancelled and we had to find alternative arrangements home. Now, before we get into the actual flesh of the podcast, I want to first start off by saying completely the right decision to cancel the race. I'm sure by now you have seen the videos, the photos, just general news stories of the devastation that has happened in that Emilia-Romagna region, as well as other parts of Italy, like the flooding, the landslides, the mudslides, all of this kind of stuff has been just awful. And we were super fortunate in the sense that, one, we flew into Milan, so we weren't too affected where the area that we flew into, but also that I'm in a lucky position that we could just arrive in Italy, organise travel home and come back. Whereas for some people, like I've seen others share accounts of them being stuck in certain towns. And yeah, it's just generally like an awful situation and one that was completely out of Formula One's control. They 100% did the right thing by cancelling the event and also coming to that decision so early. You know, Stefano Domenicali, he is an Imola boy. He is from that area. So I'm really happy to see that Formula One and Ferrari have donated several millions of dollars or euros to the cause for the flood relief. I'll also leave a link to a donation page in this podcast description. And yeah, it was a really strange situation to be in. As a result, we found ourselves, myself, Claire and George, with some spare time. And so I thought, well, as a positive here, let's record an episode. But yeah, at the time of recording, obviously, we'd only just found out it had been cancelled. And since then, there have been, you know, awful reports of people have died in these floods. And so I kind of just wanted to start this podcast by addressing that because, like I say, when we recorded this on Wednesday, there were lots of things that were still unclear. We'd seen some video footage of like the broadcast center in Formula One had been submerged with water. We knew that the day prior it had been evacuated. We'd seen how close the river was to the circuit and that it looked like it was ready to burst its banks. So we had plenty of contacts in that sense, but just generally, I kind of wanted to address that before I shared the clip of the podcast. Naturally, I think I'm okay to say that I was disappointed that the event was cancelled. Like, completely understand why, but you know, for me, I spoke about it on the last podcast, like this was going to be my first ever Formula One race as accredited media. Like, it was going to be a huge moment in my career, and I'm lucky enough, like I know that my time will come again. In fact, I should be accredited for Silverstone, which in the grand scheme of things is only a couple of months away, but it was kind of sad to get there. And the fact that it happened all so quickly, like I said on the last podcast, my accreditation hadn't been sorted. I wasn't sure if I was going to be going to Imola, a circuit that I have so much love and admiration and respect for. It's one of the ones on my bucket list that I really wanted to go to. I really would love to visit it one day, and I'm sure I'll be back. Just wasn't to be this time. That's the kind of context I wanted to give before we got into the podcast. So yeah, I'm gonna hit play. I'm gonna play my little tea recording sound, and I hope you enjoy this podcast with a few new voices on it. So that's quite exciting. And I will speak to you guys soon, and hope you all have an amazing race week. We've got Monaco Grand Prix and Indy 500 this coming weekend, which I'm very excited for. I really want to try and get more into IndyCar. Every time I say this, and I always say it around the time of the Indy 500, but I need to give IndyCar more of a chance. But anyway, maybe we can do a podcast on that another time. But yeah, I will speak to you guys later. Thank you so much for all your lovely messages. And I will speak to you soon. Enjoy the episode. Bye. Hello, everyone. everybody, and welcome back to the Small Talk podcast. As you can probably hear, I am not in my flat. I'm in a very busy, a restaurant in Milan Airport, because I've travelled over to go to the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix this weekend, and unfortunately it has been cancelled. So I thought I would record an episode here from the airport. I'm not alone. There are actually going to be some additional voices to the podcast for this episode, which is rather exciting. And I feel like it's going to be a bit of a pass the mic situation. So in order to do that, I'm going to actually pass the mic over to the guests and you're going to introduce yourself. So first up, please welcome George.
Hello everyone. It's great. People are already laughing at me. It's a good start. I'm sitting next to Katie in, don't even know the name of this restaurant. What is the name of this restaurant?
Rosso Pomodoro.
Rosso Pomodoro in Milan Airport. And I'm actually going back home tonight. I'm quite lucky that I've sorted a flight out for this evening. So, yeah, looking forward to that one. We're going to pass over now to a professional broadcaster.
Absolutely not professional whatsoever. But I think Katie has very kindly mentioned me before on the podcast. I'm Claire Cottingham. Worked in various different things. And, yeah, we were all planning on going to Imola this afternoon. We were picking up our car. We flew this morning at 9 a.m. and landed quite a bumpy landing as we came in. And actually, I don't know if either of you looked out the window and saw some of the flooding that was already really obvious as we flew in. And we landed to the news 17 minutes after it had been announced, or at least we were told, that the race was to be postponed/cancelled. We're not entirely sure what's going on yet. Absolutely, in my view, the right decision. But I'm sure we're going to get into that a little bit more.
Thank you very much. This feels very unusual, having one microphone and passing it around the table. Like Claire alluded to there, there's been lots of extreme weather conditions, lots of flooding. We've seen photographs from people actually at the circuit. We were advised not to travel to Imola today. So, I mean, regardless of if the weekend was postponed or not, we wouldn't have been at the circuit. But yeah, some serious flooding going on. And from all of us, you know, we can only sort of echo the statements that have already been put out, in that we're thinking massively of the people of Emilia-Romagna that have been affected by the issues. And yeah, I know lots of people have said that, lots of journalists and such have been saying that it's the right decision to postpone it, but it completely is. And we'd much rather that the emergency services and such are focused on making sure the locals are catered for and taken care of. Imola this weekend is not going to be going ahead, but we still have lots that we can talk about. So we thought that while we had some time to kill in the airport, that we would sit down and record a podcast. So as we've been sitting around ready to record this podcast, we actually saw some drone footage of Imola. And yeah, I mean, the place is completely flooded. I don't know, Claire, if you want to go into more detail, as you're the one with the video, but the circuit itself looks like it's not completely submerged, but lots of the trucks with the Formula One logos on, and obviously the broadcast centre and stuff like that looks like it's knee deep in water.
Yeah, it's a local TV team that have released some drone footage. They're on Twitter under @localteamTV. And it's really interesting to see, you know, if you're not entirely sure why it got cancelled, it's well worth looking at the video to see the extent of the damage that the flooding has caused, not just to the track, but also to the surrounding areas as well. And yeah, Katie, as you say, you can kind of see the paddock, you can see the F1 trucks, you can see everything that's going on there. And it's just, it's heartbreaking for everyone involved. And we've seen this over the last couple of weeks, the floods that have been taking over within the region. And to see it quite in the way that we have, again, I can only echo the point that we made before, that Formula One have definitely made the right choice in deciding quite early on as well, that this event should not go ahead. Because you only have to look back to the last couple of races, obviously thinking back to Spa, that took a long time really for them to admit that it was going to be as torrential as maybe it was, and in Australia, obviously, when COVID hit, again, that was so up in the air, no one knew what was happening. But Formula One for this one made a real stance to say, no, this is not right. The area is incredibly unsafe. And as many people have pointed out, it's not just that. It's police, it's fire services, it's everyone that needs to be helping families that have lost their houses and their livelihoods due to these floods. So the focus really needed to be off Formula One and really on helping as much as we could with the region.
Yeah, I mean, when we were arriving into Milan, you could even see some of the fields nearby were, you know, submerged in water. So it's still very much a situation that is ongoing. But George, like for us as journos, we've had interviews and stuff like that scheduled, which have all been cancelled. But for you guys, I guess there's some light in that you can go to Monaco. You're going to be going to Spain as well. So can you talk me kind of how through this has affected you as a journalist?
Well, I think the first thing to say is it's you know, put into perspective, it's not affected us that much. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. You only have to look at the people that have been affected here in Italy by the floods and the fact that, you know, some of them have lost their homes. I think some of them even lost their lives. So it has obviously affected us too badly. In terms of me personally, what the plan was this weekend, I had some interviews scheduled with a few of the drivers, which is obviously going to be, you know, something I was looking forward to. Write those up over the coming weeks. But yeah, they'll just get rearranged now. The plan for me is to do pretty much every race now between now and the summer break. So that's going to be really good. And we'll just speak to the drivers I was going to speak to tomorrow at some point later on in the year. You know, I think Claire makes a good point as well about, you know, obviously the emergency services are needed elsewhere, or, you know, elsewhere in terms of the region. And at the end of the day, it is just an F1 race. Like, obviously it's a massive event in terms of Formula One and in terms of the sporting calendar, but it kind of all pales into insignificance when you kind of look around. And we're in an area that, by all accounts, hasn't been as badly affected as where we were going to be going. We're in Milan, which is, you know, a couple of hours drive away from, you know, the area we were going to for Imola. So, yeah, it's obviously impacted our day a little bit. We're now doing a bit of a day trip to Milan, or at least I am, and you guys are going to fly home tomorrow morning. But it could have been a lot worse. And yeah, we'll just move on to Monaco, which is obviously next week. So in terms of looking for our F1 fix, we don't have to wait too long. And just hopefully the area that is affected here in Italy, it can, you know, recover as quickly as possible. And hopefully by not having the race this weekend, the resources that are needed in terms of the emergency service can focus on recovering as quickly as possible. And in terms of the clear up and all that kind of stuff that needs to happen now.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the grand scheme of things, obviously one race out of a massive calendar isn't going to be too much of a difference, but there are already conversations that the race could be rescheduled. I know I've seen on Twitter, at least, I don't know how reliable the information is, but potentially we could race there in the summer, in August, after something like Spa or the Netherlands. Just as this is one of the things of recording in a restaurant, is we've got somebody now clearing the cutlery drawer right next to us, so, you know, keeping it authentic. But yeah, who knows if we're going to get another Emilia Romagna Grand Prix later this year. Obviously, from a purely selfish reason, I would love that. This was meant to be my first Formula One weekend as accredited media, and clearly the universe said not today and it's not happening. But as we have just completely echoed and consistently echoed through this podcast, like, I'm obviously a little bit gutted, but it's really nothing in comparison to the stress and, you know, things that have affected the people that are living around this area. We're very lucky in the sense that we can come here to Milan and fly back home again. For George, you know, in the same day. For Claire and I, we're travelling back tomorrow morning. But for the people that actually live in the area, this is a very real issue. And yeah, I'm completely with F1 in agreeing that it was the right decision to cancel the event. But yeah, it's a bit of a disappointment because I had lots of interviews planned, which I was really looking forward to. I had time with Sergio Perez, which some of you will know is a driver that I have really enjoyed watching him race over the last few years, or even longer than that. Time with Yuki Tsunoda, the Alpine drivers, Mick Schumacher as well. So, like, plenty of people that I was really looking forward to speaking to, and now that's not going to happen this weekend. So I'm sure there'll be a time where I can chat to them again. But for, yeah, this weekend it's going to be a bit of a weird one because, yeah, we were ready for a triple header and it's just not happened. Okay, so away from Imola, I feel like because we've got two guests on the podcast, especially two guests that are very familiar with the Formula One paddock, it would be rude not to speak to them and get some of their advice maybe, or just kind of tales from the paddock. So I've put out a Q&A over on Instagram, but I actually have a question for both of you before we get the fan responses. And that is, who have been your favourite drivers to interview so far? As somebody that is yet to interview, I've only interviewed Logan Sargeant in the Formula One paddock, but Claire, for you, I know, I feel like every weekend you're speaking to a different Formula One driver. So have you got any fun stories or drivers that you enjoy speaking to more than others? No pressure, off you go.
Well, for legal reasons, I'm not going to say who I don't like talking to. Some drivers are harder than other drivers, of course. And I think also you have to remember that sometimes moods could change throughout the weekend. So sometimes a driver that is very happy to speak to you maybe on a Thursday is less excited to speak to you when they've qualified, you know, P16 on Saturday and then not done incredibly well on Sunday. So I think you have to be mindful of people's moods at the same time. Who is good? Who is good? I have a good relationship in terms of interviewing with Lando Norris. And Danny Ric was also really good. I have a good relationship in terms of, again, work and interviews with Lewis Hamilton. He's always very good to speak to. And actually, I spoke to, when I first used to interview Max when he was a bit younger, he used to be quite difficult to speak to in terms of if you asked him a very, or just, you know, something that wasn't open enough for him to respond, if he could answer with a yes or no, he used to always answer with a yes or a no. However, in recent times, he's very much opened up. And I had a sit-down interview with him in Zandvoort. And he was really, really gracious and nice and chatted away. So that was really nice to see. Because it is quite hard when a driver turns around to you and says yes or no. And you tend to only get, especially if you're in like the pen or, you know, a media scrum, as we call them, which is where, you know, all the media just shove their phones in drivers' faces. If a driver says no to you, it can be firstly quite disheartening and or just give you a one-word answer. It can be quite disheartening, but it also can really just knock your confidence in general. So it's nice to build those relationships. And once they start recognising your face a bit more, they know that you're around a bit more and they can be much easier to chat to. But yeah, Alex Albon's lovely as well. There's some really good, you know, chatty drivers up and down and the grid. So yeah, I'm gonna have a think about some good stories because nothing's like jumping out at me at the moment. So I'm gonna think about that, but because they're all quite, you know, well behaved on Thursday press day. So I don't know, George, have you got any wild stories from your nights with Formula One drivers at parties?
Surprisingly not. I should say as well, for probably most of the people listening or all the people listening, I am quite new to the F1 paddock. So I actually started, my first race was Imola last year. So kind of like you in a way, Katie, but it went ahead last year. So yeah, I don't have a massive amount of stories to tell from my time in the paddock so far. But in terms of drivers I have spoken to, like Claire says, Alex Albon is normally good value. He's always very open with what he's had to say. I spoke to him a couple of times. I actually spoke to him ahead of the Italian Grand Prix last year, which of course he ended up not taking part in because of appendicitis, which was obviously very unfortunate. I spoke to Pierre Gasly at the US Grand Prix, which was the first race after his move from AlphaTauri to Alpine had been confirmed. So more out of luck than judgment, really, that I got that interview then. But it's still good to obviously talk to him about the move and what he was hoping for this season and going forwards at Alpine. Interestingly, I guess this is one of the better stories I have in terms of F1 drivers at the moment. He did the interview whilst wearing cowboy boots, so it's very on brand for
just
cowboy boots, yeah, nothing else. It's quite eye-opening. We're doing it in the middle of the paddock and he just had cowboy boots. No, he didn't, but he did have other clothes on as well. But it was good fun to talk to him about that. Obviously, it was just off the back of him doing his karaoke as well with Yuki Tsunoda back in Japan. So it was good to talk to him about that. And, I mean, just going off on a tangent as well, the Austin paddock was a lot of fun last year when Danny Ricciardo turned up on his horse at the start of the Grand Prix weekend. He obviously loves that part of the US, so he very much kind of bought into the vibe there. But yeah, I mean, in terms of the drivers, they're all pretty open and friendly. I think they're, you know, they all seem like really good guys. Obviously, when they're having a bit of a tough weekend, sometimes their answers can be a bit short, but that's kind of, you know, to be expected in terms of sports people. But yeah, I wouldn't say there's anyone that you really struggle to talk with. And just going forwards in terms of my F1 career, I want to try and obviously get around the rest of the paddock and speak to them one-to-one when I can. Obviously, three more are on the list this weekend, but we'll have to wait and do that another time.
Who are you planning on speaking to this weekend? And also, people have asked, like, where they can find you. Without it sounding totally stalkerish, what's your home address?
I live in a town called Crawley, which is very much near Gatwick Airport, which is quite handy for this job. Where can they find me? My handles on Twitter and Instagram are George Daglas. My surname is Dagless. As someone with a name that sometimes people can't seem to spell, I quite regularly get in the habit of spelling it out. So yeah, Instagram I'd have next to no followers, and on Twitter I have barely a few more. So by all means, join in with the lack of conversation I have on those platforms. I forget the other part of your question, Katie. Who was I going to interview this weekend? So the plan tomorrow was to speak to Valtteri Bottas, which I was really excited about because Valtteri is, you know, he seems like quite a good character, obviously, on social media. Logan Sargeant, I had kind of hoped to speak to Logan before the first race in the US, obviously Miami being a specifically home race for him. I mean, obviously, three US Grand Prix this year, they're all going to be home races, but he just lives up the road from Miami, or was born up the road from Miami. So that would have been quite cool. I was going to speak to him this weekend. And the other driver who I've actually... Yuki Tsunoda. I was about to say I'd forgotten. It's Yuki Tsunoda as well, who I spoke to last year. And he's, you know, doing really well, I would say, this year. In terms of... You look at Max and Sergio as the guys that are, you know, challenging for the championship and having brilliant seasons, but past them I'd say Yuki is actually one of the drivers that's performing better than the most this year, and I think a lot of people are realizing what he's doing in that AlphaTauri, where he's either finishing in the points or just outside the points and always getting the very most out of the package. So it would have been good to speak to him this weekend, but yeah, we'll see when we can speak to him next time.
Thank you very much, George, that you can find on all of those social medias, and I also put Claire and George's socials in the description for this. So obviously Emilia Romagna has been postponed, cancelled, however you want to describe it, but the next race that means we're going to get is Monaco, and both Claire and George are going to be there. I'm very jealous. I'm tempted to try and plead with the FIA to let me in because I had so many interviews planned, but they're not going to go ahead. But nevertheless, Monaco is an interesting one because you have the split of fans. I feel like it's almost 50-50 sometimes. When you're online, it can feel like everybody just hates Monaco. But the reality is a lot of people do enjoy it. And I mean, from this podcast, you'll know that I've been to Monaco a few times with Formula E, never with Formula One, because I haven't got the bank balance for that. But Formula One is going to be heading there next weekend. And guys, what are your thoughts on Monaco? Are you pro-Monaco, against Monaco? What's the kind of vibe? Claire, I'll pass the mic over to you first.
I mean, I'm quite lucky that I have, like you, Katie, we've done FE Monaco, which was great fun. And last year was my first ever year doing Monaco F1, because even in the times when I worked for Formula One as a company, they have a skeleton crew that goes out because lots of the TV stuff and stuff is done by the circuit. So there's less F1 personnel that are needed there. I suppose for me, as if I think back to all the times I've watched Monaco before being lucky enough to go last year, I still loved it. Like, I still loved the sort of the glitz and the glamour and the ridiculousness of Monaco. You know, it is for me a historic part of the sport. And I said at the time where, you know, they were sort of toing and froing whether they were going to sign a new deal. I thought, you know, That for me is Formula One. You know, these races are a real, like, they're part of the the history, really. And it's all well and good adding your Las Vegases, your Miamis, and these other new tracks that, you know, your Saudi Arabias and stuff like that, the other new tracks that maybe bring in a different audience. And of course, you know, America is bringing in huge audiences at the moment, so it absolutely makes sense to have, you know, maybe two or, not entirely sure about three, but there you go, American races. But if you're then getting rid of races like Monaco, and even when, you know, Spa is still, people are saying, oh, the Belgian Grand Prix might not be there again, it for me is taking away some of the core love that I have for Formula One, I guess. Like, I don't want us to lose some of those really, I keep saying historic, but that's not quite the word that I mean. It's like the backbone of the sport. Like, it's always supported the sport, these, you know, these European rounds, and to lose something like Monaco would be a real shame. However, the track can not always lead to the most exciting things, but, you know, sometimes a driver like Charles Leclerc can shake things up and make it a bit more exciting for us. I think all in all, this season in general, the racing hasn't quite been what we've been used to in the recent years in terms of excitement. So I don't know if Monaco is going to be much different for that. And Spain, again, is not one of the most exciting races. So we might have to wait until what comes after Spain. Austria, Canada. Canada's a fun one. Canada's a fun one. None of us know the calendar. I like Monaco. Long and short of it, I love Monaco. And for me, I feel like it's the real heart of Formula One, having tracks like that with so much heritage. That's the word I was looking for. Heritage.
So I think I'm probably going to end this podcast here. One, because George has a flight to catch, because he was the lucky one out of us three and managed to get a ticket this evening. Yeah.
I don't really know how many more times I should apologise, but what can I say? Quick-witted.
All right, no need to rub it in. But Claire and I are here this evening, and we fly back tomorrow morning. But yeah, a bit of a weird one, because I had recorded, this is, as you all know, traditions on this podcast, record an episode on Monday, basically super elated at the fact that my accreditation had been approved. The last podcast I spoke about, there was umming and ahhing whether I would be allowed to come to Imola, and eventually the Formula One guys and FIA wrote back to me on Monday and said that my accreditation had been approved, and so it was a real, like, last minute attempt to get flights, to get hotels, all this kind of stuff. And it was a very overwhelming and emotional experience. This will be my first Formula One weekend as accredited media, but alas, it is not meant to be, guys, and that's okay, because it really is like a tiny, tiny inconvenience compared to the massive problem that's going on here at the moment. And I'm glad that Formula One have taken the necessary steps and the action on Wednesday and not left it several days or whatever, like they've kind of put their foot down now and said that it's not going to happen this weekend. So this is the reality of the situation, but I'm hoping that I'll be able to make it home tomorrow and we'll be able to spend some time maybe with friends, with family, edit this podcast, and then who knows, maybe we can do like another Q&A or something over the weekend to make up the fact that I was hopefully going to try and provide you with a fun podcast of like all the things that happened in Imola, but that's not going to happen. So instead, I thought, why not pull out a microphone and record a chat with some amazing F1 journos. Hopefully we enjoyed it and enjoyed the other voices on the podcast, because that's something very new for Small Talk. Whee! But yeah, thank you so much for listening, guys. And as ever, thank you for all your support. I really appreciate all your kind comments of people reaching out, checking that we're all doing okay. And yeah, I will catch up with you in the next episode. But for now, take care of yourselves, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye!